Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
I'm hopelessly, insanely, out of my mind in love with you.
Will you marry me?
The odds are 1,000 to 1 against you, old boy.
This is true love.
Boy, this is a lot more fun with a second person.
Don't worry, we always fix it right the second time.
Go into the chapel and we're gonna get married.
I'm Jim Burns. Getting married and starting a family can be a struggle for any young couple. When Ginger Kolbaba married her husband Scott, she thought she was prepared to handle the responsibilities of becoming a wife and a stepmom. But since this was her first marriage and his second, she had to learn to make a different kind of adjustment than many newlyweds make. During the next half hour, Ginger joins me for a look at the Remarried Couple's Guide to Lasting Love. It's possible, but it definitely takes some work. We'll talk about it next here on Homeward, so stay with us. From the studios of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. APU has been graduating difference makers since 1899. One of those difference makers is Dr. Jim Burns, and along with his wife, Kathy, and their daughter, Christy, for grad school, and daughter, Becca, for undergrad. If you want to learn more about what APU is all about, go to apu.edu. Today on the program, we're going to be taking a look at a cultural phenomenon that many of us didn't really think would be an issue when we got to this season in our life. What's it like when your kids are getting ready to move into the marital season and the person that they're going to marry has already been married? Author Ginger Kolbaba had that exact experience. She wrote a book called Surprised by Remarriage. And today on the program, we're going to talk about the Remarried Couple's Guide to Lasting Love. Here's Jim. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. A very important program today, the Remarried Couple's Guide to Lasting Love. Yes, it is possible. Ginger Kolbaba is with us today. She is the editor of Marriage Partnership Magazine. Actually, it's my wife's favorite magazine. Former associate editor of Today's Christian Woman. Gold medallion nominated for a book called Refined by Fire. She's married to her husband, Scott. They live in Elgin, Illinois. Welcome to our studio today.
Thank you, Jim. It's nice to be here.
It's funny because we've been kind of giddy before this program, and yet I appreciate so much your incredible message. You've written a book called Surprised by Remarriage, A Guide to Happily Even After. Mm-hmm. Looking through your book, it really fascinated me. This is your first marriage, but your husband Scott's second marriage. Talk about some of the hurdles that you've had to overcome of being his second wife.
Wow. You know, it just, things like baggage or mental triggers, those are the big ones. You know, we might be in a discussion about something and all of a sudden he'll respond in a way that isn't quite appropriate for the level of the discussion. And I've had to learn to step back and say, okay, is this really about what's going on here? Or is it more about what happened in your past? You know, that's one of the big ones, learning how to sort of navigate that.
And, well, you know, everybody struggles with baggage. I mean, I'll do premarital counseling with young couples and I'll say, what kind of baggage are you bringing into it? And they'll talk about maybe a previous relationship, or they'll talk about an abusive situation in their home or teenage experimentation. But that is a biggie in a second marriage or a third or even a fourth, that you're bringing this other stuff into the relationship. How do you make it healthy?
Well, I think the very first thing is to recognize what that is, to recognize that it is baggage. It is from the past and it's separate and you need to work through it. So many times we decide to stuff it down. Well, you know, that was from the past, so I'm not going to deal with it because this is a new marriage. Well, you know, I believe that when you bury something, if it isn't dead, it's going to show up again, and it's going to show up at the worst possible time. Right. And so I think that's a huge thing, is to just acknowledge this is what it is, and then deal with it head on and be totally honest about it. You know, this doesn't have anything to do with you, honey. It has everything to do with my past, and help me to work through that.
I find that in terms of intimacy and relationships, we've just got to be honest. And it's not easy to be honest.
Right.
Because it's going to be hurtful maybe to the other person.
Exactly.
It's going to be hurtful to us. So again, we do stuff it. Now, in your role as editor of Marriage Partnership Magazine, you've probably received lots of letters from those who are struggling with their second, third, or even fourth marriage. What are some of the common struggles that you hear about when they write you at Marriage Partnership?
Oh my goodness. Well, intimacy is a big one. You know, when we get married, we become one. And when you break that apart, part of us sexually is, you know, damaged in some way. And so that's a big one. Another huge one is children, bringing children into the marriage. And that's actually one of the biggest reasons for divorce the second, third, and fourth time is because of child issues. And then, of course, the ex. The ex is a big one, or the ghost of the ex. Even if the ex isn't there, that ghost is still hanging around.
The ex is still there, just it's the ghost.
Oh, yeah.
When somebody says to you, I'm married to someone who's great, but my ex doesn't have the same values as I have, and we have our kids in a really tough place, what do you say to them?
Oh, spend a whole lot of time praying,
yeah.
Because that is much more common than a lot of people realize.
Yeah.
And I think really being honest and getting your spouse on board and saying, regardless of what the boundary issues or the ethics or the morality is on the other side, we need to stay true and honest here because kids aren't stupid. They're going to know. And so it's as much as you can remain consistent in your beliefs and, you know, in your walk with Christ or your faith, I think the better it's going to be.
What do you think about the philosophy where you really don't talk about a blended family as much as you talk about step families and step parenting? Many people who are authorities in this will say, you know, it's almost impossible to blend the family together.
Exactly. It takes, studies are now showing it takes about 7 years to get to sort of that harmonious stage. And when we enter remarriage, we think, well, okay, yeah, we've got this instant family, but it's really going to kind of be like the Brady Bunch. You know, it's going to be everyone's going to get along because we love each other as husband and wife. And so they're, of course, going to just join in on that joy. And really understanding that the honeymoon doesn't come right away and the kids aren't always really excited about that. So if you can be patient about it, if you can work through it, around 7 years is when families really begin to gel.
But what's interesting about that is that when you look at statistics, many times people are divorced before 7 years because a second marriage doesn't oftentimes last as long as a first marriage.
Exactly. I think it's going in and not, it goes back to the baggage issue. It's going in not having dealt with the past in a real way and you know, bringing sort of the God factor into it. It's not dealing with the stigma, not dealing with this sort of loser label that we have, and going in with these expectations that I didn't have this in my first marriage. I expect you to fulfill everything that my previous spouse didn't fulfill. And it just causes a lot of problems that way.
Now, when you married Scott, you had never been married and he had been married with child. So
right.
you probably had to grieve some things.
Yeah, I did. And it was really surprising for me. I knew that he was going to be grieving things, obviously. I was surprised that I started to grieve things. And the biggest thing I grieved was the fact that I'm sort of this runner-up wife. I'm a second, and I'll never be a first. You know, he experienced a first sexual experience, a first child, a first house, all of those things, and I never got in on that. And so I found that if I could allow myself to sort of wallow in that self-pity, oh, it could become so destructive because it's, oh, woe is me. I'm not a first. I'm not good enough, you know, and the insecurity. But really sitting down and saying, okay, I know that I'm not the first, but you know, I need to be honest with my spouse. And at one point I sat down with Scott and I told him how I was feeling. And that was a real vulnerable moment for me because I didn't know if he was just going to be, you know, like,
how did
well,
Scott
get
react?
Over it. He listened. You know, that was the biggest thing is he sat and truly listened. And then he nodded and he said, you know what? You're right. You're absolutely right. You will never be my first. But you and I have things in our relationship that I never had in my first relationship, things like respect and trust. And he said, therefore, you are the first, you know, and really made a way of looking at things that we could do together that would be firsts to build on that. So both of our insecurities were sort of lessened at that point.
He needed to say that to you.
He really did. Because if he would have come back and said, get over it, right. Wow, what damage that could do to my self-esteem and then to our marriage.
Right. Well, there really is a self-esteem issue in a second marriage and a third marriage.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned the word loser. Some people feel like that's the stigma of divorce, that they're a loser. They have a big L on their forehead or something.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. And, you know, we do that to ourselves because, especially in the United States, everything is about being successful. And if you can't succeed in the most intimate relationship you have, wow, you know, you're considered a failure. And so we heap all this guilt upon ourselves, and then we walk into a church situation, and we're sort of considered second-class citizens. And they might not come out and say that, but that's sort of how, you feel you can't be involved in ministry, you can't do that. It's all the can'ts. And there's so much grace that is afforded to everybody, including people who have gone through divorce. And to be able to really acknowledge that, to know that God isn't finished with us yet, that He has a plan and we didn't mess it up because we got divorced. I think that's so important for us to understand. But when we keep that big L, you know, branded on our forehead for loser, and we walk around like that, of course that's going to affect our self-esteem. Of course that's going to affect our children, our parenting skills, our marriage, and our relationships as a whole.
Well, you have some very practical ideas when someone is in a remarried situation. I want to talk about that right after the break. We're talking with Ginger Kolbaba. We're talking about the Remarried Couple's Guide to Lasting Love. Very important stuff. Very good.
Yeah, when you think about it, Jim, the number of people who have been married and divorced, or married and widowed, and then are going into the marriage season again, is exponentially higher than it was even a generation ago. And this is a very, very practical resource. We've got a link to it on our website today at homeward.com. And if you are getting ready to get married, if you're looking for tips on maybe a little premarital instruction, go to homeward.com. Dr. Jim Burns has some new materials up there for you, in addition to his book, Creating an Intimate Marriage, and also the devotional book he and his wife Kathy wrote called Closer. Any of Jim's books that you find on homeward.com, they're available for purchase anywhere. But if you buy them directly from our Homeward Online Resource Center, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry. It's tax deductible to you and beneficial to us. So check out Jim Burns' books online at homeward.com. That's HOMEWORD.com.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot. Families today are pulled together in so many different directions, it's just a wonder that parents have any time together anymore. Of course, such was not always the case. In fact, it really wasn't all that long ago that every household included at least one grandparent living in the home. Well, things have changed. The extended family help that was available even a generation ago isn't there now, which isn't necessarily always a bad thing. Well, what is unfortunate, however, is the fact that so many of us today don't have a support system in place, the kind of support system that really a multi-generational home used to provide. Support can come from so many different types of sources: friends, the neighborhood, your church. I've even heard of a church that sponsors a monthly date night complete with babysitting so couples can get a little face time with each other if they have no other means of support in that area. Well, if you need help in doing so, you can download a free copy of my tip sheet called Blueprint for Building a Family Support System when you go to homeward.com.
Welcome back to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Ginger Kolbaba is with us today. We're talking about Remarried Couples' Guide to Lasting Love. It's possible. Actually, divorced couples, oftentimes when they remarry, they don't do as well as the first marriage, but that does not have to be the norm. You can make some decisions. You got to be proactive and intentional about it. Ginger, before the break, we were talking about the problems and the issues of feeling like a loser and some of the stigmas of divorce. But you actually have in your brand new book called Surprised by Remarriage, A Guide to the Happily Even After. I love that title. You have some real encouraging things to do. And one of them that jumped out at me was you ask people if they're planning to remarry or if they're already remarried to do something that you call the 20 questions. Ask the 20 questions. We obviously can't go through all those 20, but what are some of those questions that are good to think about intentionally?
Well, I think one of the questions is to sit down with your spouse or the person you're getting ready to marry and to say, what are some of the good things about me? What are some of the things that I need to work on? But even to just sit down by yourself and spend some real, honest, vulnerable time with yourself and to say things like, what would my ex say was the reason we broke up? What were some of the reasons that I contributed to the demise of this marriage? Because if you know that, and you can be very honest about it and very specific. I know I have some friends who, that the man has been married 3 times, and each time he says, well, I'm sure I've done things wrong. And when we come back and say, well, what would you say specifically are some things you've done wrong? He can never respond. It always keeps going back to his exes. And so to be able to say, okay, I need to be really honest about this. What are some ways in which I messed up? Because it doesn't matter what the reason for the divorce, we all contribute to the demise in some way. Maybe it's an attitude or the way we responded or holding on to bitterness or anger. You know, being able to say, am I truly able to forgive what happened and be able to walk into my new marriage with sort of this fresh slate? Or am I going to take my bitterness from this past relationship and it's going to show up in this new marriage? So questions like that.
Those are absolutely great questions. In your book, you talk about the God factor and you mentioned it in the previous segment. How important is the spiritual relationship that a couple would have when both of them feel probably pretty broken? They feel like they've probably sinned in one way or another. We all sin, obviously, but you know, they feel like their divorce was sin. Where does God fit in?
That's a great question. You know, the most important thing, I think, is to be able to say, God isn't finished with me. There is grace that is abundant to all of us. And really sitting down and, you know, part of that, again, is what was my contribution to the demise of that marriage is to be able to say, okay, God, this is what I bring. What can you do? Help me find forgiveness. Help me find grace in this. And God really does. You know, there is therefore now no condemnation in Christ Jesus. The Bible's very clear about that. And so being able to get honest with God and saying, this is what I brought to the marriage, and this is where I messed up. Help me understand that. Help me to find forgiveness for myself and through you. I remember just last week, I heard Jeff Parziel talk about how any divorce is breaking a covenant with God, and looking at how important that is, and really understanding that, okay, I broke this covenant with God. I need to be able to go back to God and say, I need the covenant redone, you know, and God is one who goes over and above to bring you back into relationship.
Well, that's a great reminder. I want to talk about a couple of specifics. I'm going to throw them at you. Obviously, next time we can talk about more of this. You mentioned the ex-spouse factor. That is a big one. You talk about control over this, and actually, you don't have to be best friends, but you're saying try to be cordial. Talk about that.
Exactly. I think the most important thing to understand is that it is not about me. Like, make that into a little stitch thing and frame it up so that every time the ex calls and demands, you know, more child support or wants to mess up your schedule or wants to do whatever, just sort of infiltrate your marriage, which they do, that's reality, is to sit back and say, this is not about me. This is about that person and that person's issues. And, you know, our problem is we make it about us. And so then we get all frustrated and angry. And who do we take it out on? Our spouse, you know, which they're just kind of standing there, you know, wringing their hands going, why am I in trouble here? But really understanding this isn't about me. And to say, this is more than likely about a power play and about insecurity. And I'm not going to go there. And so, you know, you're right, we don't have to be best friends, but God looks at how we respond. Right. And that's what we are accountable for. And so if we respond at the same level they do, wow, we've got some accounting to do, you know, to God. But if we step back and say, I'm going to respond with grace, and that means I might get a bloody tongue sometimes because I am biting down so hard, that's the right thing to do.
Well, I know that you agree that marriage isn't easy, but you say that divorce is also no picnic. Talk to the listeners who might seriously be contemplating divorce. What words of advice and encouragement can you offer them?
You know, the ripple effects from breaking relationship goes out so far. You know, the big thing obviously is children. And we tend to rationalize our decisions by saying, oh, well, the kids will just get over it. They're young, they'll spring back. They don't. Studies are now showing that children of divorce grow up with more mental illness, with more depression, with more commitment issues, you know, and those are all based on the fact that we decide to get divorced. I think I can honestly say, working at Marriage Partnership for as long as I have and seeing all of the letters that come in and dealing with so many people who have been divorced, I really don't know of anything good that comes out of a divorce. It's just that I can, you know, I feel comfortable saying that blanket statement, but
that's a heavy statement.
That's how difficult divorce is. It's a death. And death means that everyone, you know, who had any sort of connection with that marriage, whether it's friends or family or your church or your community, those ripples go out eternally. And so, you know, if there's any way to save that marriage, boy, do whatever you can to save it.
And, you know, I appreciate you saying that. And yet at the same time, when there is death, there is also new life and resurrection. And so really, this is a conversation of hope, because there are people who, sure, their relationship has died. And yet what you're talking about is that when you bring in the God factor, there is a God of grace and a God of love and a God of unconditional love and sacrificial love. And it's important for our listeners to be reminded of that at the same time.
You bet. And one of the most beautiful things that I guess if anything good can come out of divorce and remarriage, it's that God allows us grace so that then we can go and minister to others who are hurting so desperately. Right. We can say, hey, I've been through this. This is where I messed up, and this is where I did right. And let me share that with you. And, you know, that's really about the kingdom of God. That's who we are as people who are connected to Christ.
Good words of wisdom. A lot more to talk about. Can you come back next time so we can continue this?
I'd love to.
Great. I actually want to talk about step-parenting, friends, communication, sexuality, so many other kinds of conversations that we can have. Also, the comparison game. I think sometimes we play the comparison game.
Boy, Jim, we might need two more programs to tackle all that. But our thanks again to Ginger Kolbaba, the author of the book Surprised by Remarriage, for being so candid and joining us here on the Homeward broadcast to talk about what it was like for her as she entered into the season of marriage and realized that her husband had been married before and had children from that marriage. And that's becoming more and more common. And Jim, as we've had this dialogue today with Ginger Kolbaba about the remarried couple's guide to lasting love, I know a lot of our listeners, we hear from them, they talk about this issue all the time, and this is a very, very key topic right now.
Well, it is an important topic, Roger, because there are so many remarried couples who really want their marriages to work. They
sure.
want their families to work. They're struggling, and there's so many different issues that go along with that. What they've got to do is focus on it and make things happen. I appreciate that Ginger gave us some great input today.
We hear a lot from couples who are in this situation right now, Jim, and I know that I'd say the majority of the people who write to us and call us with these issues are saying, look, I've got a step-parent, step-child issue that we're trying to deal with, and I'm going to work even harder this time to make this thing work out, but please equip me. What do you recommend to those people?
Well, one of the things that I think are so important is that if it is your stepchild, that you've got to make sure that you understand your role. You are not the birth mother, father.
Yeah.
But you are the stepmom or the stepdad, and that's very important because it does change the roles a bit. And I'm always suggesting that the birth father or the birth mother really takes the lead and that the others kind of come alongside to help. Probably not the major disciplinarian in this case. What they are is they're the person who in some ways has to build a relationship and build rapport. Because if we don't, then that child is going to be the one that's going to suffer as well as the relationship tends to suffer. It's hard enough, not in a remarriage situation, to get on the same track, but it means that the parents really have to do the communication.
Yeah.
What's your role? What do you expect? And then don't put the other person in a tough situation. You see it over and over again. And, you know, it's complicated, but it can work. And I think Ginger gave us some great insight and some great hope. And I know that you have a book that you want to share with us, Roger. It's an excellent book. Ginger's a great writer. Anytime you have a magazine editor, you know that they're a good editor as well as a researcher. I think she did a good job with this book.
I wholeheartedly agree. The book is called Surprised by Remarriage, written by Ginger Kolbaba. You can find it wherever Christian books are sold, anywhere in bookstores or online. If you'd like a link to Ginger's site for more information on that, just go to homeward.com, go to the radio broadcast section, hit that tab. You'll find the roster that's got today's program on it. Click on Ginger's name, which is hotkeyed, and it'll take you right to her website for more information. Speaking of books about marriage, Jim, we have a book called Closer. It's one of our most popular resources, and what's special about it is who wrote this book. Talk about that.
Exactly. It's the only book we've ever written together. We always say we have a high maintenance marriage, and so even writing that book, we had some moments writing it. But, you know, it's a devotional book, Roger. And how it got started was Kathy and I had tried every devotional known to humankind. I mean, we wanted to grow in spiritual intimacy. It's often the least investigated part of intimacy in a marriage. And it was for us, I would say. And we were talking with a couple, kind of mentor couple to us. And I said, what do you guys do? And they said, well, we spend 20 minutes a week. And I thought, well, that sounds wimpy. You know, he was a Christian leader. And yet, as we were driving home, Kathy looked at me and she said, you know, I'd like to do that. It's not even on my top list, but it was on hers. And so we started something that we called Closer Time, which was about 20 minutes a week. And we would look at a scripture. We would oftentimes talk about a subject and then we'd pray, oftentimes praying for our kids and whatnot. A lot of couples have trouble doing that. Well, to make a long story short, a publisher had heard me talk about this. He said, why don't you write a book? So Kathy and I wrote a book called Closer. And it's now one of the best-selling devotionals, you know, in the Christian world on marriage. And what we do is we challenge people for 20 minutes a week. And it's on topics that are important to marriage. It has a little scripture, and then it has typically a story, and then there's something called Faith Conversations. Kathy and I went through it recently, interesting enough, even though we wrote the book, and she read it to me. You know, it took a few minutes. And then we talk about it. And it's really been a great, great part of the Homeward Resource Center, if you would.
Well, it's very popular, Jim. I know a lot of people contact us about this book. It's available wherever Christian books are sold. If you'd like more information on ordering a copy directly from our Homeward Online Resource Center, should let you know that when you order directly from Homeward, any of Jim's books, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry. And we're a completely listener-supported 501c3 tax-deductible organization. So you get a resource out of this deal, and we also get a little bit of financial support as well. For more information, call 800-397-9725 or just visit our online resource center today at homeward.com. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.